I was like, last Saturday, oh, this is not good. So I'm like, either this is going to be a super fantastic meeting, or I missed it. So I just called Morris to tell her to pray. And I think she thought I was trying to bow out, but I wasn't. I was like, I need some serious prayer because cough. How am I going to preach and cough? So being the nurse that I am, I found some antibiotics. I took one on Thursday, and I called my doctor and said, please, could you give me the rest of them? It's either going to work or not work. Okay. And I've been with him for like 13 or 14 years, so he trusts me. And they did. So if I sound a little weird, and then I got hit allergies on top, so it's like, okay, Lord, if you wanted to kill my flesh, you did a great job. So now, you can take over for sure. So, I brought just a few of my books with me. Okay, they're $10 a piece. There's 10 of each. So if you're interested, you can see me later. And just want to spend a minute in prayer. And what I'd like you to do, guys, just close your eyes and start praying in tongues. Okay? Should I pray? Listen to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now in Jesus' name. Just hover, Lord. I ask for an open portal over this place, and that you would bring the rain. Right now, just fill this place right now, Holy Spirit. And God, as my flesh feels kind of poorly, I ask that you move through me as a freely, just freely, Lord. Holy Spirit, just come. And we thank you, God. And I thank you, God, for getting me through the week and bringing everybody here. And we give you all the glory, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So, before I begin, and I thought my sister, where is she? Hillary? I thought you were going to preach my message.
Happen in this area starting in May. I keep
14:13. Moses speaking to the Israelites as they stand at the Red Sea with Pharaoh in hot pursuit. I'm going to read the scriptures from New Living Translation. But Moses told the people, "Don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again." We all know the story. Scripture also says that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Exodus 4:21. In fact, the Lord would have had to know Pharaoh was reprobate. God knew all of this before the foundations of time. God gave Pharaoh 5 times to repent. Scripture also goes on to say the Lord will not strive with man forever. Genesis 6:3. God's word. Scripture also says he gives us many, many times to know him, repent, and obey. He would have that no one perish. But we have to understand, too, his timeline is not ours. He is postured towards eternity. We're on the road towards that. What I sensed in addition was there is a godly knowing about the evil that lurks in men these days. The awful things we are seeing and hearing is exactly what is happening that drives those people to do this evil amongst us. I sense God is hardening their hearts. God impressed on me that the bowl of iniquity has been tipped. It is not if, but when the hand of God will come down to judgment. And the Bible says judgment starts with the house of God. These 4 things I got 2 months before the rest of this word. So this is what I sense for us to focus on. Number 1, buckle up. Like if you're putting your seatbelt on before you get in the car, because you know you're going to go somewhere. You're prepared. Who knows for what? The belt of truth would be a great thing to buckle up with. 2, keep your eyes on the Lord, not the circumstances.
That's right.
You're going to see stuff flying all over. And even me, I have to guard my heart with the news. And I want to tell you something. Facebook posts.
Come on.
I'm sorry. So this is the deal. My Bible says we're supposed to pray for our leaders.
Yes.
It doesn't say we have to like them.
Okay?
Just like the Bible says, honor your father and your mother so things will go well with you and continue on. It doesn't say only if you agree with them or like them. Okay? So when I see posts on Facebook that are derogatory and demeaning to our leadership, it doesn't mean that I have to be very careful because I just delete them. You know why? Because my Bible says I have to pray for my leaders. And I don't know, it's not my position to judge whether they're reprobate or not. My job is to pray for them that while they're still breathing, they'll get saved. But us, as Christians, as a witness, to put something like that on there, it stirs the broth.
Yeah.
It stirs to me anger. And honestly, God's got his hand on this whole thing, folks. He's not clueless. But we can't engage in that kind of thing. And I really, my heart just cringes when I see demeaning posts. So I ask that you, because you know what? When I come in here and the Lord says, which was kind of funny because the original message I was thinking of was about repentance. And then Wes Reed came and I got in the car with him and said, "Thanks a lot." And he said, "Oh no, you can go a different direction with this." But when he keeps bringing the same things up over and over, there's a reason for it.
Yeah, it's true.
anointing oil. And the fourth thing was the remnant will be saved and protected. So whatever it is you need to do to make sure you're part of this remnant, do it. Now. Do it.
Now.
Not tomorrow.
Now.
Now. Oh, well, you know, I'm definitely saved. Well, my Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I didn't write the book. So, also, many believers are standing at our own Red Seas waiting for them to part. However, Moses was told to stick his staff in the water first. Take a step. I don't know what your individual steps are, but take a step. And believe that we are in those Exodus times and that deliverance is at hand. And I believe that the staff, one of the staffs we use to part our waters is plain and simple child faith. Scripture says that he's not only the God that delivers, but the God of the impossible.
Amen.
Either believe it or you don't. And if you don't believe it, why are you reading your Bible? So Father, in Jesus' name, why don't you just repeat after me? Father, in Jesus' name, we confess unbelief in every aspect of our lives. We repent and we thank you to impregnate us with God-sized faith to be able to see things through your eyes and possibilities. We receive your deliverances. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you just declared something very powerful. So don't leave here thinking that it's not going to work. So I'm going to give a little background before I hit the meat of the message. And the scripture, the title is The Anointing Breaks the Yoke, but the Presence Brings the Power. Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth." That's the Amplified version. The anointing represents the Spirit of God that he puts in us as believers in Jesus Christ and pours out upon us as we live and work for him. The anointing releases the nature of Jesus and the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit in our lives as God's people. I was reading a book by Benny Hinn, and he refers to three separate anointings. The first is the leper's anointing, which is referred to in Leviticus 14. What that amounts to is that when there was someone with leprosy, the priest would have to go out of the camp and cover them with the blood. And that represented cleansing before that person could be re-entered into the population. So this leper's anointing happens to every one of us when we become saved. Only the blood that we get anointed with is Jesus' blood. Okay? So at that point, we have the fullness of the triune God within us. And that anointing represents the presence upon us. The presence that rests on us. The next anointing is the priestly anointing. And that is not known to any believers. This anointing is for ministry and unto the Lord one-time anointing, which the leper's anointing is. Under the Old Covenant, the priests were anointed with fresh oil every day, the same under the New Covenant. We gain enlightenment, empowerment. The anointing that comes upon us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit empowers us, just like what happened in Acts chapter 2, when the disciples turned into the apostles with signs and wonders following, because they had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's not a one-time experience, and it needs to be renewed. It brings the presence and the power. It gives you the ability to hear God more clearly. Matthew 11:15 says, "He who has an ear to hear, let him hear." And you can't be a sheep to follow the shepherd if you're not hearing his voice. Right? Some of this is redundant, but I have a plan. It can be lost with spiritual static and eventually hard heart with sin. Now I'm going to move into the kingly anointing. The kingly anointing comes with radical obedience. So it's kind of like if you had an atomic bomb, would you give it to somebody you don't trust? No. Right? So he comes to a people that have radical obedience postured in their heart to the point where when he says jump, they say how high. At that point, you become a candidate for the kingly anointing. This is an anointing that rests upon placement, refers to the office. Pastors, teachers, prophets, evangelists, and apostles. This is the anointing. Those are the governing body of the church. So it's the anointing that now rests upon you, and it's often conveyed by a mentor or another apostolic leader. What does Samuel do? He just represents the anointing. But David, it says, was a man after God's heart. So, I read an interesting thing about anointing oil. So the Lord said to Moses, take the, this is Exodus 30:22-24. And therefore, of the Christ the prophet, half as much, that is 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon. And then Song of Solomon 4:14 describes cinnamon as a precious spice representing love and devotion. 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, an aromatic plant having sweetness to its odor, in the preparation of holy anointing oil. And then cassia. It speaks of being stripped of pride, consecration set apart in a servant's heart. The Lord goes on to say this specific blend that is reserved from generation to generation, it must never be used to anoint anyone else, and you must never make any blend like it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. And anyone who makes a blend like this when anoint someone other than a priest will be cut off from the community. So now that we kind of, now remember, if you operate in the anointing without the presence, you're going to crash and burn like salt water.
Yeah.
The presence is the power source. So now that we've defined the anointing kind of loosely in the three different kinds, there are different anointing, and the importance of having the presence to can't have something new if you don't get rid of the old. Not happening. Stop looking through the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield of your lives. Some of you are stuck. The next move of God will not be a cookie cutter move of past moves. So, some people have a mindset that if certain things don't happen, that this is not a move of God. Now, one of the other things that happened with this word initially was at the end of it, he said, well, what about the election, Lord? He said, I am surprised that nobody saw it coming. That's what he said. My job is not to focus on that or any political leader. It's to occupy. And now's the time to zone in on that because time is short. I know we've been saying this for a long time, but it is. Look at, okay? No matter what your ministerial calling is, you need the power of the anointing to fulfill it. It's mandatory. There's new calls with new end time destinies need end time oil. And we need to be asking for that oil. So the title of this is, when was the last time you checked your oil? Or had it change? Finally, she's hit the mark. Let's talk about oil a little bit. Hey, I have my Harbor Freight expert over here. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Eventually, if not replaced, oil will evaporate. Well, if there are holes in the oil containers, it will leak out. Some typical holes are, and Ephesians 4 speaks to giving no place or door, window, or avenue to the devil. These things happen subtly, very subtly. And if you're not eternally minded, you're even more, you have a bigger propensity towards being captured by the subtle devices of the enemy. So, some typical holes. Lack of time in the Word. Lack of time in His presence. Well, how do you spend time with somebody you can't see? Well, if you're a Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled person, you should be able to connect with the source. You will know when you're in the presence. But even if you don't feel it, if you're going on your feelings, forget it. Feelings lie. So if you sit down with the Lord and you're not experiencing anything, you have given country, but I like the word of God. I'm going to be obedient until that person may breathe them anymore. I'm going to pray for that person's salvation. I would hate to get to stand before God at some point and him say, how come you did not pray for that person? Maybe you were the last prayer on the chain for that person to get saved. It's not me to judge whether he's reprobate or not. Right? I'm sorry, this isn't a fluffy message. You can ask me to go home. Okay, let's go back to oil. Fresh oil has the proper density and thickness to protect the engine properly from heat and pressure to reduce friction. The lower the viscosity or thickness, the less the oil can protect certain levels of pressure. You better have oil in your lamp, and you better have the right kind. The kind that came from the throne room. How about this? Dirty oil can cause damage to the engine, as does not enough oil. Our anointing can wear thin under intense levels of spiritual warfare. Needs a fresh supply of daily maintenance. That's what I felt like last Saturday. I'm getting sick. What's up with this? All hell broke loose all week. God sat me down and laid me down. I didn't go anywhere except the post office. But I thought I missed it. It gave me an opportunity, though, to really hunker in with him and ask a lot of questions. Did I miss it? Was I really supposed to go? You know, when I get asked to come here and preach, I get really excited. The people here are wonderful. They're loving, they're embracing, they're my friends. But was the timing right, Lord? So I do a lot of self-search. God, are you spanking me for something? And you know what happened? Saturday night, I went somewhere, and I had a check. And I went anyway. But I did repent right away because I asked the Lord, was there anything I did to open this door? Now, I don't know. He didn't really answer me. But we all should be having these maintenance checks. Okay? Now, I know you already heard a message on repentance from Wes, but here we go. I don't know why. He's doing it all over again. I believe there's something special going to happen in this church. I constantly ask them, now, Lord, now, let me know when you're going to shift things, okay? Because this is really all about you, not me. Nowadays, they're using synthetic oils. Do you have the real deal, or do you have the synthetic one? Hope y'all listen to me. It is birthed out of your time in his presence. Without the presence, nothing's going to happen. You might get a drip, but then eventually, boom, crash and burn. So a dipstick is necessary to check the oil. Do you do this on a regular basis? Some dipsticks for believers are rightly dividing the word of God, that is our measuring stick and plumb line. Are you accountable to anyone? If you can't have someone speak into your life, you got a problem. Because none of us are a finished work on this planet. Are you correctable? If somebody has a valid correction to offer you? No, I know it all. You know, I just finished my 7th prophetic school, and I took a clipboard. because the prophetic is such a ginormous subject, and I use the analogy of a multifaceted diamond, that you couldn't possibly know it all. So I teach as much as the Holy Spirit has taught me, but I know there's more. Are you humble? So it's kind of like taking an inventory. Are you coasting in your life with Jesus? I said this, how do you know the lies? You have to know the truth first.
That's
right. So the only way to be accountable is to be with others. This is especially important with the prophetic. Our believers. Don't go there. God will show you what your anointing is. And I remember when I was in the Carlsbad Church in California, it was a very large church. I didn't go announce the pastor as a prophet. I didn't even know I was at that point. I just knew that I knew stuff. Okay? But God actually, I just prayed, and I prayed that the Lord would show the pastor my anointing. And he did. He asked me to preach on a Mother's Day, and he said, so Josephine Harris has this anointing. I didn't speak a word. God will promote you. Your fruit of your life will define your anointing. You don't have to announce it. Because when you're announcing it, you're bordering on pride. Or, the other thing is, a lot of times when people announce it, it's because there's brokenness in their life. And they need affirmation so bad, they need to be recognized. So I'm not accusing anybody here. I'm just telling you, this is what God told me to preach. So we need to do these spiritual inventory things because time is short. I know we don't want to be caught up short, do we? I don't. Or are you just happy as a clam, right where you are, living the dream? Many of us stuck here because we get so occupied with survival on the horizontal level. We're driven. Who has time for the anointing? Who has time for destiny? No! And we forget why we're even here to begin with.
It's true.
The worst kind of death is dying and not realizing that your reality has turned into rituals of religious activity. Bill Marie said, out of the box. Gotta get out of the box. You'll never fit in the box anyway, so stop trying to put the round peg in the square hole. And some people will drive that peg and try to make it fit because it's comfortable. Because they're changeophobics. I just invented a new word. A changeophobic is a person that is fearful of change. And they see it as a massive giant that they can't defeat or they don't want to defeat because they either disqualify themselves for the call, not realizing that God's a God of the impossible, or they have so much baggage in their life because people have written negative things all over themselves. But God's delivered. He's come to set the captive free.
Yes.
So are you satisfied with the leper anointing, or have you moved to the priestly and possibly I don't want to stay in the leper's room. that's seeing things with his eyes. And he sees us with the possibilities and also what our end time destinies are. Even though it might be ridiculous to us, he's already seeing us through those blood-stained glasses and the anointing. It's in the book. Someday we will stand before God one by one, and he may tell us something like, "Have you learned how to love?" Let me tell you, that's a tough one. I am at an experience with a person close to my life that had spit in my face and abused me and a whole bunch of stuff, and I'm still taking care of that person. That's learning to love. Not based on what they did for me, what God wants me to do for that person, regardless of how they treated me. That's one of my assignments. I think I'm going to pass on that one. How come you didn't want what I had for you? What are you going to tell God then? Oops. Are y'all straddling a fence, keeping your options open? Pick a side and stay in that lane.
Come on. Come on, yeah.
Okay? And look, make a decision. But you gotta move. You gotta do something. You know what kinetic energy is? It's energy in action. Do something.
Amen.
Have you prepared your field? There's a movie that I've watched probably 8 times now, and I just did again this week, Facing the Giants. And Mr. Bridges is talking to the coach, and he says, tells him about the story about the two farmers are praying for rain. And then he asks them, which of the farmers do you think got the rain? And it was the farmer that dug up the field and prepared for the rain. Look at Noah. Hey, go build an ark. In the sand. Right.
Come on.
Elijah. Come on, I want you to pray for rain. Come on. It hasn't rained for years. Or let's call down fire from heaven.
Come on.
These stories, they, to me, stir me to believe for more.
Yes.
I want to see this stuff. God, I want to see your face. I want to call down fire from heaven. I want to, because I know it's impossible. And he doesn't need qualified. He needs available.
Yes.
Stop trying to say, oh, I can't do that. You just don't understand what's happened in my life. Listen, if you heard my life story, you'd wonder that I was still standing here. Okay? So I know firsthand that even doing this is way out of my comfort zone to begin with. But I'm seeing the fruit of me just taking a step forward, not worrying about if I look ridiculous or stupid, and how freaked out I was that I might start coughing tonight. I haven't coughed yet. So I'm saying it's possible. But unbelief can cancel everything in your life. And you don't have to feel the belief, just like you don't have to feel forgiveness. You just got to do it.
Yes.
You just say, God, I believe.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And you might have to keep saying it over and over and over again. And guard the anointing at all costs. I learned that years ago when I lived in California. I was working at Globe Prison Ministry, and one of the leadership said, I didn't understand what she was talking about back then. Guard the anointing at all costs. Meaning, I'm going to give you 3 keys to keeping and increasing the anointing. Constrain God. Don't give up easy in your time with him. And then what have you done with what he has given you? Stir it up. Start using it. Do you move in the office of prophet. Okay? But everybody's called to prophesy. So, well, how do you stir it up? Prayer, worship, pray in tongues, all these things. And then if you feel they're moved in the prophetic at some place, get out in the marketplace and ask God to give you some person. If you hang out with the wrong people, they will rub on you.
That's right.
They'll rub their dirty oil on you. Godly boundaries are good. And then if you pray, sometimes God takes care of it. So my question is, what is the field of yours that you need to start plowing, expecting the rain? Some folks are expecting signs and wonders with old oil. You're going to be awake or what? Are you experiencing restlessness? What does that mean? You feel like you're all dressed up and no place to go. Spiritually, God is moving. God is trying to let you know with this holy restlessness that something, you might be entering transition to something else. If God is stirring you in a direction, take a step.
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen? It doesn't happen. But when God has something in me, he just brings it up and over and over. So you will have that holy knowing. Change of focus. I have a friend who has a saying, the Christian life is all about change. And if you're not changing, you're probably dead. We like our comfort, don't we? So I want to talk a little bit about David. David in the Bible has three key people in his life that helped mold him and propel him to greatness. The troubler, Saul. The cheerleader, Jonathan, and the counselor, Samuel. Each one of these people had a key role in shaping David, even the troubler. So if you have that going on in your life, bless God and thank you for that troubler.
Come on.
God, what are you trying to do with this person in my life? What are you trying to show me? To me, that means promotion is coming. God is molding and shaping you. Don't disdain the people he puts in your life, even if they make you a little uncomfortable. But God needed all three. David needed all three in his life. Don't give up when you're facing giants of change. Don't look at the finish line. I love that part in Facing the Giants. When he, what was it called? The death crawl?
Dead man's carry.
Yeah, there you go. And here this guy really ended up having one 160-pound guy. But he said, don't look at the finish line. He blindfolded him. And often, the finish line goes so far away for us, we give up too short. So 1 inch at a time. Whatever God's having you do. And don't say, I won't make it, make it a wrap. Or, that's my conversation with God, because he needs something to do with his financial. But, it takes decision on your part. So I feel the inkling of the Holy Spirit now, so just close your eyes. First of all, I want to thank God for the miracle, because normally when I come here, I have such bad back problem, I have to sit the whole time. So I am forcing myself out of my comfort zone, because I believe God's going to heal me. we feel your presence. We feel your presence, Holy Spirit. What I sense is that Jesus is here, walking among us, going to be touching people, himself individually, and healing. Can I just have, I'm not ready for that song yet, but can I just have just a little worship, slow worship music? Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Father, we just thank you for the needs represented here, the physical needs. Jesus, as you walk among us, Holy Spirit, you touch each one. You touch